Hey guys, the following podcast is a Lady Gang Network and Podcast One production, which means it's going to be awesome.
Welcome to The Stacks, a podcast about books and the people who read them. I'm your host, Tracy Thomas, and today we have a very special and slightly off-brand episode. We're talking with Jenna Paris. Jenna is one of the co-hosts of the Mama Said podcast, and we're talking all things babies, motherhood, and my anxiety around becoming a brand new mother. So this episode, a little bit less bookish, a little bit more mommy. I hope that you enjoy. And before we get there, just a little bit of housekeeping we need to take care of. All right, here it is, your weekly reminder. Everything we talk about on today's episode can be found in the show notes. There is a link there that will take you to all the books discussed today, as well as the social media accounts for The Stacks and our guests. Plus, if you shop through the links on Amazon, you're helping to keep The Stacks free. If you're looking for an amazing book recommendation, send us an email to askingthestacks@gmail.com. Myself and my guest will read it on air, discuss it, and then give you a personalized book recommendation or five. So email askingthestacks@gmail.com with your name, what you're looking for, and maybe a few titles you've loved or hated. If you like The Stacks and want to support the work we're doing, here are a few easy ways you can help. First of all, join us over on Patreon. That's a website where you support the work we're doing and earn perks for yourself. We've got a virtual book club, we got inside access to the show, and we have an amazing community of other readers who love the podcast. So head over to patreon.com/thestacks to join in. Another way to support the show is to support our sponsors like Audible. They are your go-to destination for all things audiobooks. Plus, if you listen to this show, you do get a free 30-day trial and a free audiobook download. So go to audibletrial.com/thestacks. The last thing you can do to help the show is definitely the easiest. Subscribe to The Stacks wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a rating and a review and tell your friends and family about the show. It goes a really long way to helping us reach new audiences. All right, you guys, here it is, my episode with Jenna Paris discussing all things motherhood. Okay, you guys, I'm so excited. I'm here today with Jenna Paris, who is one of the co-hosts of the Mama Said podcast. Jenna, welcome to The Stacks.
Hi, you're so cute.
I'm so excited to
have you.
You're
doing a little jig.
I'm doing a jig. So I guess this, we should say this now. In case you guys missed the news, when you're listening to this episode, you will know that I have had two little identical baby boys.
Congrats!
Which is exciting. Woo-hoo. Me talking about it now in November, it feels a little
weird?
Scary.
It's yeah. Okay.
Because we're pre-recording so that I can have a little like mommy maternity leave.
Thanks for, you know, having me on for this.
Well, I needed a seasoned mother. I needed someone who knows how to talk about being a mom. I needed you to talk me off the ledge because I'm terrified.
Okay. Okay.
So we're going to just start. Give us a little bit of background on you, what you did maybe before you were a mom, where you maybe grew up, like a little bit about Jenna before we just like only talk about your relationship.
Pre-mommy. Okay. I actually grew up in Los Angeles. Really wow. Close to where we're recording right here. True LA, like Cheviot Hills. I mean, West LA, like the OG LA. And I wanted kids my whole life, but we'll get to there. Get to that statement later. I went to University of Arizona and then I, you know, stopped going there and went to Musicians Institute because I'm a singer and I wanted to pursue that. After I decided that I am so obsessed with singing, but it's not my dream to, you know, be on stage 24/7 and I don't really need that record deal. I just love singing. I decided, okay, I'm not going to pursue being famous, a famous singer or whatnot, but I am going to move to New York. And so I picked up and moved to New York and I had the best 5 years of my life there. I am so obsessed with the energy and the buzz that's in New York. And it just, oh my God, I still to this day, when I step off the plane in New York, I feel like my life is just amazing. And it just, it really was, it was like, it was my college experience. You know, I went to U of A for a couple of years, but this truly was the best experience of my life. I swear. I always tell my husband, I'm like, we are making our children live in New York for a few years, just like as a rite of passage. Like you have to, it makes you stronger.
You're singing my
my language or whatever.
Really?
I went to NYU. And so I was in New York for 8 years. And I always just talk about New York. Like,
And everyone's like, but you're from LA. Like, you have sunshine all the time. Like, you don't understand. Mm-hmm. I love seasons. I am not used to seasons. When it snowed in New York, everyone was complaining and I was just like looking out the window like a little puppy dog, like, oh my God, it's so beautiful. And I still feel that way. I would move to New York now. My husband works for Google and I'm always like, if you ever need to, you know, pack up and go to New York for a year, I'm down. Anyway, so lived in New York, had the best time of my life in New York, you know? You know what I mean?
Yep.
Partied, but worked. I was in fashion first and I still love fashion. I was doing sales. My first job in New York was at the corporate office, in NYC for Free People.
Oh my gosh.
So I still talk to my boss to this day. She taught me so much. And then I ended up moving to a marketing company and kind of did marketing since then and until I got, you know, I had my first child, but I met my husband at Coachella about 3 weeks before I was moving home from New York. So,
oh, really? And was he in LA?
He was in LA. He's from Philadelphia. He moved to Los Angeles right after he graduated from Penn. He got into a graduate program at USC.
Okay.
He's super smart, super just such a go-getter and wanted to, you know, get his master's in, he did the USC film school.
Okay. I think
that's it. And he stayed here ever since. And he, you know, he's a true LA guy now. So yes, we met at Coachella, where, you know, you go to find true love.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I mean, well, do you watch The Bachelor?
No,
well,
I'm really embarrassed to say I don't.
They all find true love at Stagecoach, which is like the next. Well,
oh my God, I'm going to Stagecoach this year for the first
time
in 2020.
Your husband, you might meet someone from The Bachelor.
I know, right? I'm going for a bachelorette party.
Oh.
So we're like, we're just going to have fun.
It's going to be a turn up situation.
Don't worry, honey. I won't find another man. I don't think.
I mean, well, I don't know if Tyler Cease was supposed to be there this year. And he
oh
was like the
my
babe
God.
From last season.
I'm going to start watching The Bachelor. Jamie, my co-host, is so obsessed.
I love it.
With reality TV. And she talks about it. So I'm always like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I really need to catch up.
I don't watch any other reality TV pretty much except for The Bachelor or Bachelorette franchise. But I watch it and I care deeply and I know a lot and I pay a lot of attention.
Should do another podcast about it.
Well, I do listen to a Bachelor podcast.
I'm sure.
And I love it.
Oh my God. Oh, that's so good. Okay. I promise like that's my homework for 2020. I'm going to start watching The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Wait, when does it come on?
Well, Peter is the pilot and he got in some sort of an accident or injury. And so they had to stop filming. So it might be a little late, but it's usually like the first week of January is when the Bachelor starts.
Yeah. New Year's resolution.
It's
okay.
Usually like January 7th or whatever that first like Monday is.
Great.
I will be probably at the hospital. That's like I'm scheduled to deliver on January 4th, which is a Saturday.
Oh my God.
So I will be just casually eating ice chips and watching Peter, and hopefully someone else will be watching.
God. Maybe
my
you'll get like name ideas from the Bachelorette.
Okay, that's
people.
A good idea because we're stuck. We have one name, but I won't say what it is. But the other name.
Okay, well, why don't you go Google bachelor names?
Well, I mean, I know all of the contestants.
But you need to like, you know.
Just refresh. The thing is that it's a lot of Dylan, which is like a lovely name, but that's also my nephew's name. So
yeah, that's my brother's name.
Like a lot of the names are like played out to us now because they're all 20-somethings.
Right. I have a list in my phone of about 150 names.
Great.
I will send to you.
Let's have this talk.
All right.
Okay, so you meet your husband.
Yes.
And you guys got pregnant pretty much right away.
3 months.
After getting married.
Three and a half months after our wedding, yeah.
And you knew you wanted to get pregnant right away? Or were you kind of thinking, we'll see what happens? And then you were like, surprised?
It was kind of like, you know, I went off the pill right before our wedding. I had been on it for years.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I was just like, let's see what happens. Like it could take me a year to get pregnant. It could take us two. It could take me 2 days. I don't know. Yeah, it took us like no time at all. We were very, very lucky. Got pregnant on our first try.
Wow.
And I always say this to people, like we are just lucky. That's the bottom line because I know how hard it is to get pregnant.
Yeah.
And, I just thank my lucky stars.
Yeah, so. Totally. I mean, we had a similar story. I was on birth control forever and ever. And I was like, well, let me get off birth control because I'd always had it in a regular period.
Oh, really?
So I was diagnosed with PCOS, which oftentimes means you can't get pregnant.
Oh.
So I said to my husband, let me just get off the pill and we'll just see what happens. I had one period. One.
Come on.
And I was like, well, first of all,
wait.
My doctor's an idiot. This is not my doctor anymore. This is my doctor a while ago.
Yeah, yeah.
In New York.
No, yeah, don't worry, Dr. New York. Okay.
Yeah,
Dr. LA, don't worry. This is not about you.
Yeah. But it was like, and of course, it was twins. And I call my girlfriends, don't think that you're not going to be able to get pregnant because you might end up with twins.
Do you have twins in your family?
No.
My grandma's an identical twin.
So I guess identical twins don't run in the family anyway. So we don't have twins in the family. I don't know. My husband's step grandfather was an identical twin, but there's no blood.
No.
There. Yeah.
I know like this is your podcast, but I need to ask you.
Go ahead.
What was your reaction when the doctor said there are two of them in there?
Okay. So my very close friends and my mother who are listening will know this. I always used to say I really wanted twins.
Mm.
Always.
Oops. No, I'm just kidding.
Truly, I am paying for this now because my anxiety is through the roof about twins. But so
you willed it.
I like to say that I manifested my babies.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I feel like that's a little bit taking like the universe into your own hands. But we'll see. I might be trying to unmanifest some things.
Oh my God.
So I was like kind of excited and then I was terrified.
Yeah, of course.
Because then I was like, wait.
Yeah.
And now that so while we're recording this, I'm 30 weeks right now, 30 and a half. And I went to the doctor this week for my visit. I have to go every 2 weeks because twins, whatever.
Yeah.
And I said to my doctor, I go, I'm having a little bit of like, how do these babies get out anxiety? And he's
like, are you having a C?
I don't know. So
okay.
I don't
so
to.
Your doctor will allow you to maybe
as long
do vaginal.
Both head down.
Oh,
I can
okay.
try for vaginal.
Okay.
But he's like, well, what do you want? And I was like, no, not actually how they get out. I'm very versed in that. But the idea of like every day that they get bigger inside me means that thing has to come out either through an incision in my stomach or through my vagina.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So like that's now where I am that I'm like – at first I was like, oh, I'm so excited, twins. And now I'm like twice. And sometimes with twins, you can have one vaginal and then the other one won't come out and you still have to have a C-section. Sounds like a nightmare.
I would just let it go. I would just – stop thinking about it.
Yeah.
I honestly let it go.
That's very good advice. It's hard.
It's so hard. But birth, whether it's C-section or vaginal, is the most insanely amazing experience you will ever have in your entire life. So don't have anxiety about it because it's going to be the most epic thing ever.
Okay, well, I'll report back.
Seriously. You should, if it's really a point of anxiety, you should like say a mantra every morning, you know, about it because it will, we'll get into that later, but you want to go into it just thinking it's going to be like the best experience.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yes, I have a girlfriend who just gave birth a few weeks ago and she was like very no drugs, no nothing like that whole thing, which good for her.
Yeah.
Could never be me, but
it could be.
I hope it doesn't have to be.
Happened to me with Daisy.
Oh,
my
with
second.
Your second.
Yeah.
I've heard about this happening in the second.
She came out too fast.
Too fast. Yeah. So my girlfriend, she was like, and I just practiced all my mantras before. And like, so when I got in there, I was just saying like every contraction is like bringing my baby closer to
I
me.
Mean, give me
She's
a break.
Like full mantra mom.
Did it work?
She did it. She was like, I gave birth on all fours. Like,
oh my God.
Da-da. She was like,
I wanted the epidural. The epidural actually went into my spine, except right when he put the needle in, she fell out of me. So it didn't kick in until
well, at least it was quick.
Until they were sewing me up, which was kind of nice.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
So I should also tell you this. I think most of my listeners know, but my husband is an OBGYN.
Really? Do I know him?
No.
Oh my God.
I won't say where he works, but
okay. We'll talk about it later.
We'll talk about that more.
That's so fun to have. Or just kidding.
It's a mix.
Okay.
We'll talk about it.
Okay.
Let's keep talking about you. We'll talk about it.
All right.
We're like already so off track. Obviously, people listening, this is nominally a show about books, but this is too exciting. We're talking about babies.
This
I'm
is
having
like
a baby.
Special ep.
This is a special ep. I feel like this is a special episode. Plus, because I know you nosy people at home want to know, you're going to be like, wait, she had babies. What's going on?
Exactly.
So this is your backstory since I've been keeping this from you guys. Okay. So you and Jamie Lynn meet through Instagram.
Okay.
Essentially.
So kind of. Not really.
Your husband knows her.
Yes. So it is so weird. Okay. So first of all, met my husband, got married, had babies, whatever. It is so weird that I did not know my husband before I met him because turns out all of our friends are mutual friends.
That's amazing.
It is our, you know, paths didn't cross, but it was perfect because, you know, the timing was right. But anyway, like when I met him and went out to, you know, parties with him and he was like, these are my friends. I was like, no, actually, I've known them longer than you. That's these are so my funny. Friends from growing up in LA. And it was, anyway. Kind of a similar story with Jamie. So all of my friends knew Jamie. I had known of her because a lot of my friends were best friends with her. My husband knew her. And I once met her at a party and I went up to her. I was like, oh my God, you know, you're Jamie. I'm Jenna. I'm Neil's wife. It's just so nice to finally meet you. We became Instagram friends after that moment. A couple years went by and, you know, I don't even know if we had kids. Maybe we had one at that point. I don't know. But when I saw, or when she saw, I don't even remember, on Instagram that we were both pregnant with our seconds at the same time, that's when we started DMing each other. Okay. And we were just like firing. Like we were like, it was like we were dating for the first time. and we got really honest with each other. I felt so comfortable with her. She was so easy to talk to, no judgment. You know, we both were just super, super honest. And we were like, we have really funny material. We were looking back at our text chain and it went from DM to like then right. text messages. And we're literally dating here. And I was like, we have really funny material. We should print this on a coffee table book, our actual text bubbles. It's funny. Like I'm like, you know, I'm showing her pictures of my son's poop and like blah, blah, blah. And it's just like disgusting, but mom shit, you know, right. No pun intended. And she was like, no, I think we should do a podcast. So we thought about it for a long time and we really did our due diligence and we thought about this podcast and we were like, we could help a lot of moms. Like we helped each other so much through our whole pregnancy and then now through raising our second with the first. Like we know that other moms need this too. Totally. We know. Well,
I can say that I have been really grateful for your podcast.
Thank you.
Though I've had to skip a lot of episodes because they were freaking me out.
Honestly, I don't blame you. You could circle back.
Yeah.
Like, the beauty is it's by topic. You don't have to listen in order.
Exactly. So like the one that was like, what do you wish that you knew before you became a mom? That one I find helpful because I still can make some changes or can still plan for things. But some of the other ones, like the grief one, I was like, I'm going to skip this one.
That
feels a little too much with all my hormones.
I would like literally not speak to you again if you listen to that episode while you're pregnant.
Yeah. I was like some of these, like the one about like fertility issues, that's really hard for me because I feel like because it was so easy for us to get pregnant and I know how lucky we are, it's hard for me to hear other people's fertility stories just right now.
Yes.
And normally, especially with what my husband does, I know how hard it is for people to get pregnant. And I'm usually like such an advocate of like tell your story and talk about it. But for me right now,
Have all these different emotions right now. You have two babies living inside of you, which is like giving you, oh my God, emotions that you probably won't have once they, you know, it's
so different, but that's what's nice about the show.
I'm glad you're smart about it.
You could, I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Like I like look at the titles and I was like, I'm going to cry.
Yeah.
Just looking at them. Yeah. But it's nice about your podcast is that you're able to go through kind of topic by topic and pick and choose what works for you. And you guys bring guests on and sometimes you have daddies. And sometimes
we have a daddy on this week. Yeah. The Sklar brothers.
Yeah. Yes.
They're so
cute. And you guys have like, you've done so much different stuff and you're both so super duper honest. And I feel like I never met you before, but when you got here, it's like, I feel like I know you because I've heard you talk about your life and your excitements and your fears and your good mom moments and your bad mom moments and all of that sort of stuff. Do you feel, though, at all that you, Jenna, have become reduced to just being a mom? Or do you feel like – or not?
No, I feel the opposite.
You do.
Because of this podcast, I feel like I was, you know – well, first of all, I chose not to go back to work, and that was totally my decision. So I was very happy just being a mom for those, you know, up until I had my podcast. I wasn't working at all. So that was by choice.
Right.
And I honed in on being a mom and I was proud to wear that title and have that title of I'm a mom. That's it. I'm not working. Wasn't ashamed. I didn't say, oh my God, like I'm not going to work. And I was also not like, oh my God, I'm just a stay-at-home mom, like sad, like I have nothing going for me. Like I was just in it and I was happy about that.
Right.
And then when I started this podcast, I was like, I finally have a job that I absolutely love. It happens so organically. So I will never be, you know, I will never feel like my title of mom is just like a,
right,
you know, like a title that I'm kind of ashamed.
Well, I meant that more like, do you feel like because your identity, like publicly, like you weren't like a famous person, like Jamie
right.
was an actress first, like people know
oh,
her. Do you
oh,
feel
oh.
like your whole identity, like
oh.
Jenna Paris, hashtag mom, as opposed to other, like.
Like as opposed to like famous singer or like.
Or just like
Jamie.
Or just other things, daughter,
no.
wife, person who loves broccoli, like whatever it is.
No, oh my God, no, sorry, I totally misunderstood that. No.
No.
That I'm, no, I feel like I'm secure enough to not care about that.
That's so interesting. Because I feel like sometimes with this podcast, it's all about yeah. books. Sometimes people think that all I do is like sit around and read. And
right.
I'm like, no, I also watch other things and
yeah.
I do sporting events and I have this whole other life.
Yeah, no.
So I was curious if that was because so much of that public identity
right.
is wrapped
it's
up
so
in being a parent.
It's so funny. Like when I think about myself, I just think about I have a podcast and I'm a mom. That's okay. like all I think about. I've never really thought about people are just like, what does she do? She's a mom. And by the way, great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that.
Well, what a luxury.
Yeah.
Too. It's like such a nice thing to be able
yeah.
to be such a part of your children's lives.
Yeah.
If that's what you want to do.
Yes. And if it's not what I want to do, I'll
do something else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
I'm like fully comfortable with, you know, them introducing like Jamie as an actress and Jenna as a mom. It's true.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just curious.
I freaking love it.
Do you feel like, well, I'm going to ask you to kind of speak in general about the state of motherhood.
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel like you've learned or seen or understand now more from going out, becoming a public mom and getting feedback from your audience and other moms? Like, do you feel like there's something that you've learned or you could say about like the state of motherhood in 2019 or anything like that?
Oh, I wish moms weren't so judgy.
Mm.
And I'm not saying I've never judged.
Yeah.
We all judge.
We all judge.
I'm fully guilty of it. But with, I think right now in 2019 with Instagram, it's scary because moms are judgy in public. And I just feel like I wish I could go back to not, you know, having such a public shame for moms or for people in general. But Instagram
right.
is a scary place. I see on people I follow who are big, you know, names, people are not afraid to say what they want and shame moms in their comments.
Yeah.
And I don't care how famous you are. Like if you read that, it's going to hurt you.
Right.
I feel like it's a scary time to be a mom in social media right now.
Yeah.
For so many reasons.
So
I don't know. I just feel like the mommy shaming, keep it to yourself. You can do it all you want to yourself if you want, but it just doesn't feel good in general because you know that someone else is shaming you.
Right.
For sure.
Right.
You know, so
right.
I just feel like it's hard now. It's hard for moms to be honest. And I feel like there are definitely moms who listen to me on the podcast and Jamie and don't agree with us.
And you guys often don't agree with each other.
Yeah, we have really different parenting styles. She's a little bit more laid back and I'm a little bit more OCD about some things, but then she's really OCD about naps and schedules and you know, and I'm not. It's just it's so different, but she we're different.
Yeah.
We're totally different when it comes to like, you know, TV watching, when it comes to just everything.
Right. We should say your kids are four
and almost two. And I have so many friends who have different parenting styles and I love it.
Yeah.
I really just, they're my best friends. They're going to be in my life forever. It is what it is, you know?
Right. Well, that's why their kids are their kids and your kids are your
exactly.
kids.
Totally. Exactly.
Well, the shame and like the online, all of that, that's one of the reasons I didn't really talk about my pregnancy at all
yeah.
on social media.
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah. And I also just was, I'm nervous. I still feel like something could go wrong. And I think some of that has to do.
Do you like believe in jinxing things?
I'm a huge sports fan. So of course I believe in all the jinxes. But also my husband, like I said, is an OB. And so one of the negative parts of that is that we've been together now for 9 years.
Oh, wow.
And so for the last 9 years through medical school, through his residency, all of that, I have heard every single person I know, their birth story.
Yeah.
Their nightmare this, their nightmare that, their this that went wrong. Because nobody goes to him and is like, hey, Mr. Stacks, like,
this is great.
This was my amazing delivery story. Yeah. Nothing went wrong and it was perfect.
But it's always negative.
It's like, oh, I had uterine prolapse or I had like a late, you know, I had a stillborn baby or like things like that where I'm like, so now all of it is like flashing in my head at all times.
I know.
Like, so when he comes home from work, I'm like, he's like, oh my God, do you want to hear the story? I'm like, is it OB or is it GYN?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm like, I'm all in on the GYN stories.
Hold the OB.
Unless the OB story is a woman came in with twins. They were both head down. She pushed for 5 minutes and they came out perfect and everyone was happy and they were both 6 pounds each. Yeah. And like they went home that day.
Yes.
Otherwise, I don't need to hear it.
I know. And everyone's, you know, just I'm being honest, like everyone has like a birth story. Both of my births were amazing, but it was still scary. Like there's still
a lot.
You know, obviously like you're married to an OBGYN, like you know that like shit will happen, but it's going to be okay, you know? Like my son did go to the NICU.
Right, I heard your story.
Because but you know what? He was, you know, in there for 2 days and they took such good care of him and it was just precautionary. Yeah. And so that's like my little story about how scary it was.
Yeah, totally.
You know?
Totally.
It's like shit happens.
Yeah. Well, that was part of his story too.
Yes, it was. He had shit all over him. Yeah. Meconium, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's – yeah. So that's one of the reasons I was just like, I can't have more stories and advice because I already have a million and one things in my head because of my husband.
Yeah.
Which obviously like not his fault.
No, of course.
He picked his career before we even knew each other.
How dare him.
I would have told him
how
to
dare him continue
else.
His career.
I'm like, why don't you go be like a pediatrician where I can use you and you can be useful? Because people are like, oh, he'll know everything. And he's like, I don't know anything about kids. He doesn't know anything about kids.
Isn't that funny?
His patient is the mom.
He like brings them into the world and he's like, peace.
Literally, as soon as the baby comes out of the mom, he's like, that's the pediatrician's job.
You know what, though? It's going to make him I'm sure he's already an amazing doctor, but it's going to make him that much better once he has children.
He said it's made him better because I think one of the things that he didn't really think about is that a lot of the symptoms and the things that are uncomfortable that his patients come in and complain about, he just sees them for 15 minutes or 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But coming home to me and I'm still complaining about the same thing, he's like, right, I didn't really think about how much – it felt like how much it's actually a part of that woman's day all day because then I move on to the next person.
Yes.
And so I think that's really helped. Or like he had a patient who was very early on in her pregnancy, maybe 6 or 8 weeks. She was having a little bit of bleeding and she was coming in like every day
because
she was
hard.
So stressed out and anxious. And he remembered me feeling very anxious in the beginning. And he was saying to her, you know, like, I get it. Like, I really get it. Like, he didn't really get it before.
Right. And instead of just being like, oh my God, she's here again. Like, he was like, God, it must be scary for her.
Well, and he had to explain to her because she was so early, they had to do the transvaginal ultrasound.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And so one of the things that he wasn't her doctor, but he was covering that day or whatever. And her doctor had said, like, no intercourse because of the bleeding, just to be cautious. And he was like, every time we have to do this transvaginal ultrasound, it's essentially the same as intercourse. And he had to like explain to her, I get it. And it's really, really scary.
Yeah.
And I actually understand because I've been dealing with this
and
my family, but I don't want you to come back because I don't want to have to do this to you again.
Yeah.
If you come back, I have to do it.
Yes.
Because that's what, you know, so like I think things like that definitely has changed the way
absolutely.
Approach. And like that was also true when we were dating and me saying something to him about like a period and him being like, wait, what? And I'm like, wait, you're the doctor.
I know
this thing about a tampon or whatever.
I know.
So, you know, it's an interesting field for men, I think, because it used to always be men. And then there was a huge shift to women being OBs.
Yeah.
And now like having a husband who's an OB, it's like sometimes.
Is your OB a female or a male?
So because they're twins, they're high risk. So I go to a high risk doctor and it's a man. But my OB who I normally see is a woman.
Got it. Okay.
But I've had men and women my whole life.
Yeah, I've had both.
I like I like the person. So yeah. It doesn't really matter to me.
Yeah, me too.
But my husband's job keeps giving me a ton of anxiety. But I think once the babies come, that part will be different because I don't have a lot of mommy friends. So I'll feel better.
Okay.
I'm like one of the first of my group of friends to be having babies.
Okay. Well, now you have me and Jamie. So
yeah.
You can just call and text us all day long. Yes.
Like, newcomer.
I'm not kidding. You can.
I
love that. I love helping new moms.
Yeah. I need you.
Obviously. That's why we started the podcast.
Yeah.
But,
totally.
But
yeah. Okay. This is good. This is a good segue. What is some good mom advice that you've received, like some of the best, if you had to pick like one or two pieces of the best mom advice? And then what is your go-to mom advice that you give people?
Mm-hmm. Okay, some of the best advice. I think early on when my son was just born, it was scary for me. I felt like, you know, you just feel like you're going to like drop your baby. You're going to like, you're going to kill your baby for the first year. They're so fragile. They're so little. It's like, someone just said, you're not going to hurt your baby. You have this down. You are going to be a wonderful mom. Stop thinking that you're going to hurt the baby. You're holding it wrong. You're feeding it incorrectly. You are doing such an amazing job. Just think about that. And everything will be okay. Mm. Because they were like, you know, you are so lucky to be able to afford food for your child and to be able to breastfeed your child and clothe them. Think about people who don't have this and who are struggling so much in this world. And here you are, and you're providing such an amazing life for your little child. Think about that. Think about how lucky you are, how lucky your child is. And everything will be okay.
That's so good.
It really helped.
That's so good. My mentor.
It put it into perspective.
Yeah. My mentor always says there are people with less financial, educational, and emotional resources than you, and they raise children every day. Okay. What is your go-to advice?
My go-to advice. Oh my God. I don't feel like I have like go-to advice. There's so many topics that I could give advice for. I think breastfeeding is one of the hardest things that a mom can do. And I think maybe my advice will stem from like this topic of breastfeeding. I breastfed both my children for 1 year each. My advice to moms who are struggling, because I struggled the entire way through and I had a lot of milk. I just always felt, and I don't know if you, like I talk about this on the podcast, that I was like holding the baby wrong. And because my back and neck hurt so much, I was afraid that the baby's neck and back were hurting because I was holding them funky.
Right.
My best advice is to never feel guilty if you have to stop breastfeeding. Do what's best for you mentally and physically.
Okay.
I didn't listen to myself and I powered through. 50% of me is really happy for powering through. I gave my baby something incredible, my breast milk. You know, great. But also they would have been okay if I had stopped taking care of myself a little bit more and gave them formula.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's my best advice. Like, don't worry. Like, no, you know, fed is best.
Right.
I love breastfeeding. I love the milk. I love the milk. I love what it gives the baby.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I'm a huge advocate of breastfeeding. If you can do it and it's easy for you, then do it. But if it's not, who cares? Move on.
Yeah, I definitely, that's how I'm entering this whole thing. Because two, I'm going to feel like a cow, I feel like, with like something on
you will.
Boobs. I'm going to be like,
but you will. It's not like, it's not even a question. Your boobs are going to be like out to here. I was just looking.
That will be nice because I'm very flat chested.
Oh, honey. Honey, first of all, you will never have these boobs again.
They're so young.
My boobs were so good. And they're so not anymore.
Well,
oh my God. Whatever.
We'll see.
I'll get surgery one day.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like,
I can't even get a lift on my boobs. There's like nothing in there.
To lift.
My baby sucked the life out of my boobs. So like now they're like,
oh gosh.
No one wants to hear this, but like, whatever.
You know. Probably everyone wants to hear this. I feel like everyone wants to hear.
Fine, they're like
breasts.
They're little pancakes, okay? They're a little disgusting pancakes. So anyway, boob job, yeah.
Yeah.
Advice, just yeah. Oh, really good piece of advice that I always say to people is there are too many cooks in the kitchen. Pick a couple friends that you really trust and ask them for advice. Don't ask everyone because a lot of people keep asking advice until they hear what they want to hear. And that is like, I used to do that and that is the worst. And I was like, shit, maybe I'm just like not hearing what I want to hear because I'm wrong.
Right.
And I need to listen. So I, second kid, first of all, I knew so much more with my second, but just really ask three or four people.
Don't you think that that's probably good advice just in general about everything in life?
Yes.
Like boyfriends or girlfriends or job advice.
You want to like pick someone who's really honest with you. That's like one friend. And then pick someone who, you know, knows a lot about research. Like they've done their research. That's another friend. And pick someone who's like gentle, you know, but has good advice. Like there's, you know, you could pick like a couple different. A lot of my friends are very different in giving advice, but I like their advice because I know that if I like ask one, she'll be gentle about it. And if I ask another one, she'll be very honest with me.
Yeah. That's good.
But I've never been one to put on Facebook, like I'm having this problem. Someone help me because I have anxiety. I would flip out. Someone's going to write, well, you got to go to the hospital. I'm going to be like, what?
Right.
You know? So
I'm never that.
Oh my God. Also, another piece of advice is if there's something medical that is actually bothering you, don't ask Facebook. Don't ask Instagram.
Just go to the doctor.
Just go to the damn doctor.
They've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I don't have a problem with. The person who doesn't want me to ever go to the doctor is
your husband. Yeah.
He's like, it's fine.
But you have to trust him. But also you have a mommy instinct. So now it's kind of separated because he's never been pregnant and he's never going to be a mom. And he's never going to deliver these babies. So like when you feel something is really needing to be checked out, you know, you could be like, sorry, hubby.
Well, he's good about being like, oh, that's normal. But I'm like, it doesn't feel normal. And then I go to the doctor.
I know. And a lot of things don't feel normal in pregnancy. Like they just like
don't. It all feels weird and crazy.
Yeah. And sciatica. Do you have sciatica?
No, but I have this most sore coccyx.
Oh, really?
I went on a flight and then I went to a baseball game.
Oh,
and
like
I bruised my butt bone basically at like 24 weeks.
Yeah. I did that too.
Can never get it back. And my husband says it lasts for like 6 weeks afterwards sometimes.
Ooh, just because there's so much pressure on it.
There's so much pressure on it now and I still have like another 6 weeks to go. So by the time.
Can you like sit?
Sometimes if I sit.
You should like sit on a donut.
I do. And sometimes when I sit, it's okay. But it's when I sit for a long time, then I get up walking is sore.
Yeah.
But I've had a pretty good pregnancy. Yeah. I feel like compared to some of the stories that I've heard.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make it any better.
It's still hard.
Super uncomfortable, but I haven't had like complications, which I'm super.
Oh my God. Yeah. I didn't either. I had great pregnancies. I was literally in pain 24/7 with my back and neck. Cause I just have a bad neck and back, but I had a great pregnancy both times.
Right.
Cause I'm not thinking about the neck and back thing. I'm just lucky that there were no complications. So to me, it was two great pregnancies.
Right. Exactly. Like I'm uncomfortable and I probably hopefully don't ever have to do this again.
Yeah.
But I can't really complain. Like it's been good so far. Yeah. Now,
can you imagine if you had twins again?
Okay. I have a girlfriend who is an identical girl twin. Her older sister is identical girl twins. One boy in between.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Imagine having identical girl twins, having a boy, and then thinking you're just having one more baby, and then you get another set of identical girl twins.
So what is it? Like, is there like something?
So it's hereditary to have fraternal twins. That means that it's like you're passed down the gene to be more likely to release two eggs. But identical twins is the propensity or identical twins is one egg split.
Separate, yeah.
So they think that there might possibly be something that it's not hereditary, but you might you might just have the propensity to split an egg.
Oh my
but it
God.
Doesn't mean that you'll pass it down.
Exactly, but your body just splits eggs.
So like, oh, I don't ever want to get pregnant again because I don't want to do this again.
Oh my God, you're going to have four and two.
Oh my God, no thank you.
Oh my God, my grandma, like I said, is a twin. She was always like, please, just one more make it twins. One more make it twins. I'm like, no.
Thank you.
I actually kind of always wanted twins too. I'm not going to lie.
Well, I mean, it's like some of this I'm excited about because they're always going to have a friend.
Always.
And
you're getting it done.
Yeah. And like when they're like 8 or 9, I can like send them both to walk to the store and I don't have to feel worried about like, and they get to be independent, but get to be together,
Yeah.
which I think is really great. because when I was 8 or 9, I was allowed to walk to the store with a friend. But nowadays, like, kids.
Yeah, I'm like, you're not going to send them to walk alone. Yeah.
I will. I'm going to bring back old school parenting. That's my parenting goal.
Maybe when they're like 10 or 11.
Sure, whatever. Okay. I mean, but just like that they could.
Yes.
Like that they could go. If we went to like a baseball game and they wanted to get a pretzel, I could just say, here's, you know, $20, that's what the pretzel costs.
Yeah.
And you guys can go.
Yeah, of course.
You know, or like I can send them into the boys' bathroom together and I don't have to go and
I know there's
like,
so many positives to like having twins.
And I think like once, I think the first year is supposed to be just hell on earth. And then I think after that, there are things that are like, I never have to potty train 2 different times.
Right.
Like you had to do that.
I know.
You had like, once I'm done breastfeeding, like I'm done.
Oh my God.
Like I don't have to do it again.
That's awesome.
So there's a lot of things that I'm like, this is going to be great when I get there.
Yeah.
But this first part, this pregnancy into the first year, I'm just like.
Yeah. The first year is crazy.
I think the first year is crazy no matter what.
But guess what? You get over it. Like you get past it.
Yeah.
You go through it.
You get through it.
Yeah.
Okay. We are going to transition slightly to books.
Okay.
So one of the things we do, I actually have been saving this question for you. So we do a thing on the Stacks called Ask the Stacks where someone writes in for a book recommendation.
Okay.
And I got this message like a while ago knowing that I was going to have a mommy on the show. I saved it.
Okay.
So this, and so her name's Kate and she's asking us for a book recommendation. So she says, I'm a newish mom and I want to be reading, but I feel like I never have time anymore. What can I do to make reading a part of my life again? And what book should I start with? I used to like all sorts of books, but most things leave me feeling pretty unenthusiastic these days. Please help. So it's kind of 2 questions.
Okay.
One is like, how can I get back into reading? And one is like, what book should I read?
Yeah.
So I'll start. You can think.
Okay.
Here's what I think, Kate. I'm not a mom yet, but this is the advice that I've heard from other people who I know who have had babies and have like in their first year. Audiobooks are super helpful.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen to them. If you are breastfeeding, you can listen to them while you're breastfeeding. You can listen to them while you're pumping.
Yeah.
If you want to, because some people I know like to be like very quiet during breastfeeding and just spend time with their kid. But if you're pumping at work, if you're at home, whatever, audiobooks are huge. It's the same as reading. You're just listening. Books that are heavy in plot. So YA, I hear, is really great if you're trying to get back into reading. Something that pertains to you. So something that is like deeply in your interest. And that might be a parenting book right now because that's something that you're in the moment. The other things that I will just add is essays or short story collections because you can do one 10-page little thing at a time and put it down and feel like you've gotten a complete story without having to feel like I can't get 200 pages, but it's like 15 pages or 30 pages or 10 pages. So with that being said, here are my two pieces of advice. Both of these books I listened to on audiobook. One is Born a Crime by Trevor Noah. It's so good. He narrates it. He's so fun. He's just like the most lovable person on the face of the earth.
He's so cute.
He's
so
cute. Yeah. I love Trevor Noah. I'm secretly hoping, I'm manifesting my children to look like Trevor Noah.
Oh my God. Noah. It's the cutest name.
My nephew's name is Noah, but I do love that name.
Okay.
But so Trevor Noah's book, Born a Crime. And then the other book is called Small Animals, and it's by Kim Brooks, and it's all about parenting. And what happened in her story is that she left her 3-year-old in the car for like 5 minutes while she ran into the store to grab something. Someone called the police. It ended up being this whole ordeal. And
fiction or
nonfiction?
Okay.
She's a journalist. So she basically went and started researching what the fuck is this whole thing about calling the police on people? What is this idea of like neglectful parenting? Is it real?
Right. Because clearly she's not a neglectful.
Exactly. Yeah. She said she could see the kid in the car. She actually was a guest. We did a little mini episode with her, which I'll link to in the show notes. It's great. But I read the book before I was pregnant. And I thought it was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things she talks a lot about is parental anxiety. And I just feel like if you're a new mom, there's probably a lot of things going on in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And this might be a book that really is easy for you to grasp onto because it's so much about being a parent and the mommy wars and the ways we try to be perfect and the ways we try to do things. And is that really helpful? And I think in the book she talks about, how where you're actually less likely for your kid to be abducted in 2018 than you were in 1980, than you were in 1950.
Whoa.
Like that fear of like child abduction is actually gotten less and less.
Wow. Interesting.
Like stranger danger.
Uh-huh.
Not if your kid is taken by like a disgruntled spouse or family member, but just like a stranger.
A true stranger.
Yeah. And so those would be my recommendations to you. Do you have any advice on this?
I mean, I was telling you this before. Before coming on this podcast, I mean, I hadn't read a book, and I'm being completely honest. So here's the thing. I'm not a big reader. I'm not proud of that, but I'm not a big reader. And before coming on the show, I hadn't read a book in a really long time. I started the Michelle Obama book. I started so many books. I started Eating Animals. I was doing another Jonathan Safran Foer book. And oh, yeah. I never finish. I'm just thinking of the ones that are on my nightstand. I never finish them. I feel like I never have time. But I'm so thankful that you made me read a book for this episode because it made me, first of all, it made me know that that's bullshit. I do have time to read a book. I agree with you. Listen to books on tape. My husband does it every single morning. He has a far drive to work and that's what he does. Mm. But yeah, I mean, your advice is amazing.
That's what I would say. I'm sure I would change the advice. I'm sure in 6 months I'll change the advice once I have kids. I'll be like, okay, Kate, I lied to you. Don't do any of that.
But no, your advice is spot on. And also, so when I was pregnant, I actually chose to not read a lot of
pregnancy books
yeah. just because I have a bit of anxiety.
Right.
I just wanted to not know and kind of like have a surprise. Like when I'm giving birth or whatever happens, like, you know, this is it. Like, this is my story. I don't want to hear about other people's stories.
Right.
But I will say that the book that we had to read for this episode.
We did Crib Sheet by Emily Oster.
And I feel like I could be best friends with her. I feel like it was so easy to read. I mean, I don't even know if we should start talking about this.
All of this.
Okay. But anyway, it just, I wish I read that book when I was pregnant.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
Okay. Okay, now we are going to talk a little bit about your book. So I'm going to make you go back slightly into times in your life when you read, but we're also going to talk about reading to your kids.
Okay.
And we're just going to do a few of the questions from the Stacks questions, but we always, always, always do two books that you love and one book that you hate. And those can be books that you've loved reading to your kids, or those can be books that you loved when you were in high school or whenever you did read.
Okay.
And then books that you hate should be easy since you don't read that much. You probably put down a million books. So.
Oh my God. I actually was like, I cannot remember it, books, but I mean, Where the Sidewalk Ends.
Amazing.
Always.
It's Silverstein.
Yes. I read it every single night to my child.
Do they have a favorite?
Nope.
Poem?
No, he's four. So he like, we're still reading every single one of them. But my all time favorite book to read my child is The Giving Tree. By Shel Silverstein.
You love
again.
Shel Silverstein.
I do, and I did when I was little too.
I did too. I still like, have a copy from childhood of Where the Sidewalk Ends.
So do we. I mean, someone bought him a new one, so because like I don't want to ruin my old one.
This is mine. Kid.
Yeah. but I actually brought it. I just, first of all, I cry every single time I read it. Ugh. But I remember when I was little, reading that book in elementary school and just thinking like, wow, this is beautiful. Yeah. And I it's still the same feeling.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's so good.
I recently was reading, I think it was a tweet thread. And someone was talking about The Giving Tree and they were saying that someone had read it and someone had responded to them and said, like a mentor in their life had said, don't ever let that happen to you. And the person was like, what do you mean? And they said, you know, one of the big lessons of the book is also don't just give all of yourself at all times to anyone else. Like you also have to save some of your own tree. And I think that that's a really interesting thing from the adult perspective.
Yeah.
Like I think for the kid perspective, the giving is super important. But then realizing, especially for women, that you also need to protect your own resources.
And I thought that was really that. When I read it tonight, I'll think about that.
I thought it was just like an interesting twist because that lesson is also in that book, but it's not the lesson that I think we focus on because it's like about the giving tree.
Yes.
I thought that was really interesting.
So funny. I was just thinking like, I was like, oh my God, I do remember one of my favorite books when I was little, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Mm.
Did you read that?
I never read Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, but I know the musical.
Oh my! Oh, I don't know the musical.
Julie Andrews.
Oh, I didn't even know there was a musical. Yeah, I love that book. I loved it so much.
It's like
so
the
funny.
Flying car, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just remembered this might be like one of the last books I read. I just realized, oh my God, I don't even remember what it's called. Who wrote it? It was like Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man.
Steve Harvey. I read that too.
It was a really good book.
I read it. A friend of mine gave it to me when I was living in New York. I was having like dating issues and he was like, read this.
I think, did I read it when I was with Neil? No, I read it right before I met Neil. Oh my gosh.
When did you guys meet? Like 2009 or
12,
something?
So 12. In 2012, okay. I think. And I remember loving that book.
I liked it. When I think about it now, I'm like, I wonder if this holds any water.
I know.
Now. It's probably,
I know.
Like, that book could not be written in 2019.
No, but like, I loved the way it was written. Like, yeah.
I mean, Steve Harvey's like,
he's
pretty
hilarious.
Funny and like, yeah.
Yes.
It's pretty light. But it's like the cookie, right? It's like, save your cookie.
Yes.
Don't give up your cookie.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm just like, oh my God, was that the last book I read? I read most of Michelle Obama's book.
But you read articles and stuff.
Yes, I read. Yes,
I think that people think that like reading books is the only kind of reading that is valuable, and that's not true to me at all.
Really?
I read a ton of articles.
I read articles all the time.
Yeah.
So totally. Much where like I go cross-eyed. Like okay. I'm constantly on my phone reading New York Times.
And that's
and I actually,
like super valuable reading. I think that books are long. It's a big commitment.
Yeah.
Reading articles, you're still reading. You're still flexing the same muscle.
True.
You're still learning.
True.
It's basically just nonfiction.
Right.
It's like reading articles or reading the newspaper is just basically a nonfiction book of today's event.
I read articles a lot, especially for the podcast. But, but it did make me feel I can't – like you read books all the time, but reading this book like made me feel like I accomplished something that I've wanted to do. Like I've wanted to sit down and read a book for a long time. So thanks.
Yay. I'm so glad.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to tell us a book that you hate. Do you remember anything from high school that you read that you hated or middle school or anything? No.
No, I don't remember anything that I only like things that I loved in high school. And
really?
Yeah.
That's so funny. I feel like everyone always has something that's like, oh, my teacher made me read.
No. Yeah. Yeah, no, no, you guys, I don't remember my last name half the time. Like I cannot remember books that I hated.
Okay. I want to know what people are writing the articles that you like. Like if you can think of any.
Not specifically.
But you'll do New York Times mostly?
Not mostly. Oh. No, I actually get most of my articles when if I go on social media or actually like the random times I go on Facebook, a lot of my friends, you know, post articles and I'll just click on it and read.
Mostly mommy articles or?
No, not mostly mommy articles. You know, it could be political sometimes, but I'm not a big political person, but a lot of them are mommy. A lot of them are about the world, about our environment. Right. I don't pick and choose. I really don't only read mommy articles. I don't watch the news ever. I have no time for TV. So reading articles keeps me in the loop. I just downloaded the New York Times app to my phone. So it's not only NYT. It's just really like when I'm scrolling on Instagram and Facebook
is whatever
comes up. Yeah. If I find it interesting, I'll quickly read it. And that's where I get all my info. That's where I get my news.
I do
daily go on CNN.com and I'm just like, okay, keeping myself up to date with something. So right. I don't sound really stupid. If there's a hurricane somewhere, I'm like, huh?
Well, there's so much going on in the world right now that it's almost like can be exhausting.
Yeah.
To try to like keep up. So it's good to like have one place to go to like get.
Yeah. I guess CNN is like my one place and I'll read a lot of articles on there.
Yeah.
So I guess that's my go-to.
I go to Twitter to
get all of
my news.
My husband does too. It's the same. Yeah.
It's just, I follow people that I like and I trust and then they share articles and I click on whatever they're sharing. So sometimes it's Washington Post. Sometimes it's something from the New York Times.
Yeah. I do like a lot of articles on Huffington Post.
Yeah. It just all depends.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we get out of here, I want to talk about the books that your kids love.
Okay. So like I said, Shel Silverstein, like an obvious must. One author that I am obsessed with for children is Sandra Boynton.
Okay.
Or Sandra. I don't know. Boynton.
Okay.
Memorized every single one of her books. They're little board books, but they're so good. So she's just one author. I mean, every single one of her books are incredible.
Okay.
The Going to Bed book is the best.
Okay.
You'll get that, I'm sure. I'll get it for you. But Llama Llama Red Pajama.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Great.
Have you ever seen
book.
The guys from Migos do?
No.
Okay, you know that rap group Migos?
Yeah.
They were on some interview, and I'll link to it in the show notes, but they sing the song.
No
and it's
way.
Like, Llama Llama Red Pajama.
Oh,
Llama,
my God. Llama. That's
it's
so,
like, so funny.
Funny.
I love it. They did it. I remember, maybe it was the Daily Show. I can't remember what it was where I saw it, but my husband and I still like are obsessed with Llama Llama Red Pajama.
Yeah.
And when we see
it's
it,
so cute
in the
that you like
store,
know it. Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God. I've never opened it. I just know the title.
You can open it now. I brought it. Okay. Another amazing book that we just got is Big Words for Little People. Okay. Jamie Lee Curtis.
Okay.
You know she's an author.
Did I didn't
know
that, that.
Yeah. She writes a lot of books. Oh my gosh. Okay. So that book is amazing. It just teaches you big words for little people. It's really cute to hear the little guys.
Like say them.
Yeah. They're like, oh my goodness. Like that's a big word. What does that mean? But Dolly Parton writes a lot of books.
I've heard about this just recently.
Me too. I watched this Reese Witherspoon documentary. No, does she have a Netflix show? Something on some sort of network. And she interviewed Dolly. I didn't know she was so into literature. And she provides books, I think, in Tennessee for free books so people can read. And
Very cool.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe the reason I just heard about it is because this whatever.
And she... And in Crib Sheet, she mentions
it. She mentions Dolly Parton's books. Maybe that's where
I heard
it.
Yes, that's probably where you heard it. I heard it a few days before that in an interview with Reese Witherspoon and Dolly. Yeah.
Okay, so let me – because there's like only 100 million children's books.
Yeah.
How do you pick which ones you bring into your house?
A lot of them are gifts, so that's that. By the way, books are the best gifts. Hands down. If you don't know what to get a newborn baby, get a gift. You don't have to get clothes all the time. Gifts are the best books for kids.
No, books are the best gifts for kids.
Yes, they are. Because I'm fucking tired. Yes, books are the best gifts. I don't know. I when we go to Barnes & Noble, I mean, I'll read really quickly through it to make sure it's not stupid.
Right.
I want there to be a lesson in the book. You know, there are so many authors out there. As long as it's a good lesson, I for little ones, like I really like easy, big shapes. Like you just have to really, there are bad children's books.
Right.
And by bad, meaning like kind of boring for even the parents. I just quickly read and glance through it if I'm going to, you know, Barnes & Noble. And I'll buy it if I love it.
And you read to your kids every night.
Okay, so I read to my kids every single night. This was something that my mom told me I should do, pediatrician. I take it very seriously. I think books are the most important thing for kids. Talking is great to them, narrating everything that you're doing. My mom told me that. She goes, you have to narrate everything you do from the second the baby's born. Say, I'm changing your diaper. Now I'm going to take off your pants because that's how they're understanding right. what you're doing. I truly believe in that, but the same with books. I think, you know, you'll get a routine going from day one, read to your kids. I mean, and I'm not saying you, I'm saying whoever's listening. It is, I think, the most important part of a routine in a baby and child's life.
Right.
It helps their vocabulary. I know a lot of parents who just don't read books to their kids and I find it wild.
Yeah.
And here I am saying I never read books, you know, as an adult, but I really like this. Like there is no.
But you do read because you read to your kids.
Of course. Of course. Yeah, yeah. Of course. But we take it very seriously in our house.
So funny. I love that.
You have to. It's where they learn everything.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they're not going to learn if they don't read books, but they will learn so much more.
Right. Right. Of course.
And it's also interesting. My son, and it's supposed to be the opposite. Girls are supposed to speak a little bit more than boys. My son was a very, very, very early talker. Sentences, like by the time he was two, like just like communicating everything. My daughter, not so much. And I, you know, and I'm like, is it because I had more time to read to him? And whatever it is, you know, she's has so many words and she's going to be fine.
Right.
But, you know, I really do think I'm like, maybe it's because I read so much to my son.
Right.
And I still read to my daughter, but not nearly as much.
Right.
Because I don't have as much time,
right,
obviously.
You have a son and a daughter.
But yeah, reading to them is just everything.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. Last question. I'm going to slightly change this one for you.
Okay.
We always do this one, so we have to do it. But if you could require the President of the United States to read one children's book.
Oh, my God.
So pick your best lesson. What would it be?
I don't like our president, so.
It's okay. You're not alone.
Yeah. So really any book with a good message. I would say The Giving Tree.
I thought you might say that.
I'm not kidding. Like, just, I'm not, like, I would pick that even if we never talked about it today.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good one.
It's a really good one, but yeah.
There's many lessons you could learn.
I mean, I don't know. Like, can I, like, talk shit about the president on here?
Basically, that's all this question ends up being. The funny thing is that this question came from the New York Times, and they used to do it with Obama.
Yeah.
And I think they did it even before. I don't know when this started, but they've always done it. And it used to be, like, really, like, different, diverse group of books.
Right.
And now it's all just people being like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like, anything with a good message, with, like, a good heart. Like, I don't know. He has so much learning to do. There should be a book about when not to speak.
I'm sure there is.
I mean, you know, he can learn a lot.
Yeah.
He doesn't know anything right now.
Right.
Basically,
there's a lot of room to grow.
Yeah, and a lot of room to grow.
Okay, so next week Jenna's back. We're talking about Crib Sheet by Emily Oster. It's a data-driven guide to better, more relaxed parenting from birth to preschool. If you haven't read the book yet, it's nonfiction. We won't be spoiling, really, but we are going to talk about the book in depth. If you are a new parent or a new-ish parent even, I think that there's a lot of value in this book, so I definitely recommend checking it out. Jenna, you can find her. I'll put all her social media in the show notes, and then, of course, the podcast Mama Said. Jenna, thank you for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And we will see you guys in the stacks. Thank you guys so much for listening today. And thank you again to Jenna for being our guest. You can catch Jenna on the Mama Said podcast. And Jenna will be back next week to discuss Crib Sheet by Emily Oster. There will be no spoilers next week, so you can listen even if you've not read the book. You can find everything we discussed on today's episode in the link in the show notes. Make sure to get your book recommendation read on air by sending us an email at askingthestacks@gmail.com. For more from The Stacks, please follow us on social media at The Stacks Pod on Instagram and at The Stacks Pod _ on Twitter, and check out our website, thestackspodcast.com. To join The Stacks Pack and get inside access to this show, head to patreon.com/thestacks. Thanks to Audible, listeners of this podcast get a free 30-day trial and a free audiobook download by going to audibletrial.com/thestacks. Make sure you are subscribed to this show wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're listening through Apple Podcasts, please take a moment to rate and review the show. Our graphic designer is Robin McCrite, and our theme music is from Tegeerigis. This show was created and produced by me, Tracy Thomas.